Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 26 of this book, the 36th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. I think I have to go back a bit, back to page 24. Okay, because this is a continuation, we stopped halfway. So he will start on the last paragraph of page 24. You can see on the Zoom. So meditation is all about Noble Eightfold Path. So by now, I believe most of us will have this understanding, which is very important. Because meditation is such a loose word. Everything can be termed meditation when it's used by different people and different individuals. But for us Buddhists, according to the Dhamma taught by Sakyamuni Buddha, meditation is very specific. As far as the Buddha is concerned, to meditate, you need to train your mind to be heedful. And when your mind is already heedful, you can meditate. Because heedfulness, as defined by the Buddha, has two parts. First part is ever mindful. Then, second part is constantly meditative. So meditative is to develop the meditation, means to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Constantly meditative means when you are already ever mindful, after you have trained your mind to be mindful and stabilize it, then you can have the ability to be heedful. Before that, you can't. That's why finally when you understand the whole of meditation is to develop this quality of mind called heedfulness. And to be heedful, you have to start training your mind to be mindful. That's why we do awareness-based meditation, to train our mind to be aware, then stabilize it so that it's ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to cultivate meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. Just under the fourth noble truth, the Buddha make it very clear. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So our purpose of meditation is to liberate our mind, to free our mind through developing wisdom. And the only way to do it is cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, where it will only enable you to and all suffering. That's why this is the meditation. So coming back to the sharing, now maybe you can understand why at that time I say it. So meditation is all about Noble Eightfold Path. That is right view leading to right thought, leading to all the good and virtuous thought. You should check your life. How often do you cultivate this right thought? Well, as a cultivator, this is very important. You can't even have the ability to be mindful of your thought process, then you are not a cultivator. After you are mindful of your thought process, then you have to check how often do you cultivate this right thought, or virtuous thought, a wholesome thought. Do you have gratitude towards people who have helped you or done something for you? Then has this gratitude become a part of your nature? Then is it your constant understanding to arise this gratitude to thank people sincerely for what they have done for you? For what they have sacrificed for you, especially your parents and people who are very close to you. Then rejoice in all the wholesomeness and goodness that people have done, means that quality of mind that is rejoicing, or in Pali the Buddha call it mudita. Then be sensitive to others, means develop mindfulness and awareness so that we are sensitive to others, to life, to the environment, to all beings. Understand the world, understand fellow living beings, and understand everything else within nature, so that we are not selfish, we are not close. We are loving, compassionate, and we are sensitive. To do that, you must have wisdom. Only then you can feel for them, so that you are not selfish. See? This part is very important. Otherwise, you always think of yourself. Self-benefits, self-advantage. These are selfishness. When you have that, what they call concept or idea of an ego protecting your own interest, that is the evil root of greed. Selfishness is part of greed. Then I read on. Otherwise, you will always think of yourself. And selfishness, which is a very strong evil root of greed, will always be there. Because the deluded mind can cunningly come back through the back door to deceive you again. We are telling you to consider selfishly. For me or not for me. Advantage to me or not. Otherwise, I don't want to do that. All these are selfishness or selfish thought. Nothing to do with my family, my business, my race, my country. I don't want to get involved. No advantage to me. I don't want to know. That's why you don't have love. You don't have sincerity, generosity, kindness, and goodness. You are not able to help people. You are incapable of kindness and goodness. That's why such people cannot develop virtue. Because they don't have sincerity of heart, and they are very selfish. They always think of themselves, think of advantages and motives behind. Hence, meditation has a lot to do with the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That's why life itself is the meditation, because it's only in life you can apply the Noble Eightfold Path factor. And this is real meditation. You cannot develop a mind that is free, that understands and does not dwell, you will suffer. Do you know what will happen when you dwell on your unhappy past? Means scars of memory, phobia, etc. Meaning you hold on to your grudges, your anger, your hatred. Do you know the meaning of grudges? In Mandarin, it's pronounced as chouhen. It's a vengeance and hatred. This means you hold on to your vengeance and hatred so strongly. When you understand all this, you will develop wisdom to straighten your view and reverse all this negativity of mind states. When you understand that all this bring about karmic downfall and bring about wrong thought that condition your suffering, causing your karmic nature to fall, and they will make you weak and miserable. And when you also understand that you hold a key to your own life destiny, to be happy or to be unhappy, you have a choice. You will then never allow yourself to become afflicted again and become so deluded anymore. That's how you wake up. And you will choose to be happy. It means you straighten your view to choose to be happy and change for the better. And you will change overnight. Then I use the word, this is just common sense. Common sense in the sense that I'm not criticizing anybody. I just explain to you when you can have the Dhamma to see all this clearly, then you will know how to choose. But I always say, each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. So why can't we choose to be happy? If we choose to be happy, we will be happy. But why isn't this a universal truth? Why are so many people in the world still suffer? We live life without understanding and become tormented, miserable. They have to go through the coming process and all these things. Relationship problem. Life realities problem. So all this can still cause them a lot of suffering. Don't tell me they don't know how to choose. It's nothing to do with that. It's because they don't know this teaching. If they know, they will never do it that way. That's why I say this is common sense. After we have realized this truth, we will never go back to the old way. If you allow yourself to go back to the old way, it means you are really heedless, deluded. You choose to be miserable. What can people do? It's your choice. You don't blame others. You don't blame God after that. Because that choice, when you have the understanding, is very clear. That's why I use the word. This is just common sense. And you will not do all those deluded things or stupid things again. Because the moment you understand, you are free. You can liberate your mind. This is real meditation. Okay, can you all follow? Then somebody replied, can. Good then. Read it on. So now we continue. So this is today's continuation. Attachment to Dhamma results in attachment to existence. So this is easy to relate and understand now. An attachment to existence results in perishing in emptiness. So this one also very straightforward understanding. But when you are unsupported, the way will circulate freely. It means when you don't dwell, when you don't deludedly grasp and cling and hold, you will not have suffering. You become free. When mind is liberated, and there is nothing in this world that can bring forth the condition for you to have fear, worry and anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, or even the slightest unhappiness. No more. Then you can see clearly how the form and mind with the wisdom connected understand that all these are not real, not what you think. They are just conditioned arising and dependent originating phenomena. And mind make are they only for my mind. And he know you, he know me. Just like what the Buddha said in his Dhammapada verse. He said, my son, my children, my wealth, my property, these only the fools lament. There's a foolish one, the man. For that very body of his also doesn't belong to him. Parents, son, parents, well, and all those things. So this is very clear. Those who have wisdom, they will understand all this. They will not cling, not hold. But they also understand that the condition world is the condition world. And the existential world is the existential world. For in the conditioned world and the existential world, there are things, even though they are not real in the ultimate truth sense. But they are still subject to its sets of nature's law. For example, the law of karma, which recognizes relationship and things. But that pertains to the form and mind, nothing to do with the ultimate wisdom. But because our form and mind is born of its karma, heir to its karma, conditioned and supported by its karma, and it is what it is because of its karma, means subject to this law of karma. Therefore, the form and mind still have its duty towards this law, nature's law. But with true wisdom, or in true emptiness, as stated in the Heart Sutta, there is none of all this. So when you have the ultimate truth understanding and the understanding of the existential world, meaning the supramundane and the mundane, then you would have developed perfect wisdom. This will help complement your understanding. Then you can live anywhere on both sides of the equation, because you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned world. That's how your mind can transcend reality, transcend all the phenomenal world of consciousness. Like the lotus flower, it will arise even though it is from the muddy pond, but it will stay above the field to blossom into full blossom. That's why it's so beautiful and so unique. That's why the symbol of Mahayana enlightenment being is the famous lotus flower. Okay, this part is very good. Yeah? Then the way will circulate freely. So this one is from the commentaries. Yeah? Means you are free to move. Means you don't have any problem anymore. Yeah? There is no more taboo or no more superstitions or tradition to actually interfere with the way you live your life. That's why the way it will circulate freely means you are free to move. There is no resistance, no more impediments. There is no more rigidity. You just accord and flow with condition. The mind that dwells in Dhamma is in self-bondage. This is a very good statement. When you dwell in Dhamma, when you give meaning to the phenomenal world, to whatever that you come to perceive through your senses, that is self-bondage, because you attach to them, you cling on to them, you hold on to them, taking the unreal as the real, taking the impermanent as permanent. This statement is very powerful. When you dwell in Dhamma, you create the Atta or personality, the self. You create the attachment to Dhamma. That's why it's self-bondage, via sakayadhiti or self-delusion. If you get attached to the meditation Dhamma and sitting without moving, this one is attachment to Dhamma. If you get attached to the meditation Dhamma and sitting without moving, you tie yourself up and become a prisoner. So Sariputta, the Sakyamuni's disciple foremost in wisdom, sat in the forest quietly meditating. But the lay person, Vimalakirti, reprimanded him, saying, "What are you doing? What use are you sitting there like a corpse? It should be like a statue, not the cop." I think the commentary used the word cop. This particular understanding on chapter 4 is very useful. That's why the title is about Samadhi and Wisdom. So this one is 6th Maitreya Platform Sutta. Do you remember? Samadhi and wisdom go hand in hand, and Samadhi is not concentration. Please bear that in mind. Samadhi is the collected mind, unwavering mind. That is why it is related to wisdom. When wisdom is stable, Samadhi will become even more stable. Then it will accumulate into Upeka, equanimity, the last factor of enlightenment. But initially, without Samadhi, you cannot see things as they are, to realize the wisdom, to awaken. That's why the two are interconnected and related. When you cultivate the Dhamma, you cannot separate them. There's Samadhi and wisdom. You cannot say, I just want to cultivate Samadhi. They are interconnected in many ways, just like a stick. Or like the stick analogy I gave you last Sunday. When you pick up the stick, there are two ends to it. You cannot say, I hold this end. I don't want the end. Then the stick is no more a stick. That's why Samadhi and wisdom, Panya, in Pali, they are one together. Okay, do you have any other question? Don't have? Then we shall move on. The last paragraph. This one is from Schoenhoff's commentary. Good knowing advisor. There are those who teach people to see. Looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or rising. So this one is the commentary's sharing on how most Zen master or teachers, they teach meditation this way. They emphasize on sitting, then looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without moving or rising. They claim that it has merits. Then Shenhua asked, what do you think? Then I commented, a lot of people do that. They call it Chittanupassana, according to their own interpretation. You know, a lot of cultivator or your teachers, I think in the early days I used to hear them say, I'm doing Chittanupassana. Then I hear them expand or elaborate on it. He said, I can see my thought. Then they say, I can be mindful of my thought. Actually, it's, they can see their thought. They claim that it has merit. And that's why Shenhua said, confused man, not understanding, easily become attached and go insane. And Master Shenhua used such harsh word, go insane, ki xiao liao. There are many such people. Therefore, you should know them. Teaching of this kind is a great error. This one is spoken by Master Shenhua. By now, I really hope you can understand. I will go through this one more time. There are those who teach people to sit. So the key word here is to sit alone. Then keep on looking at the mind and contemplating stillness without going, moving and arising or arising. Who is the one looking and doing all this? They never inquire. That's why I always say, if you are mindful and aware, this is the thought. The thought is looking at the mind and contemplating stillness. And because of that, they are so actively arising for the thought and thinking instead of meditating. So one thought is trying to look at another thought, and they call that Chittanupassana. The real Chittanupassana is about mindfulness. It is about the silent mind in sati, choicelessly aware. Because the word watching is sometimes, if you don't understand, it can mean somebody is watching. So the word awareness is better. That's why I put it in with a comma. Watching without the watcher. Yeah, awareness. You don't go and look for it. Only the awareness is aware of it. It is totally different. Then when you sit in a formal meditation, don't contemplate. You only contemplate when you are out of the meditation, having a free mind. Then you can contemplate and develop the inquiry. Then from there, the contemplative wisdom, which is the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya will arise through the silent creative mind in contemplation. All this meditation, when you do it without understanding, you will end up doing all this, including sit without moving or arising. It means you sit like a statue down there. Do you think by just sitting one day you can become enlightened? maybe your mind can become more calm, more peaceful, and more stable. But then every time you have problem, when you are back in society or back to society, you will have to run back to the retreat or meditation center and try to perfect it again. Again, when you come out of such meditation, you realize that you are not peaceful when you are back to normal life. So you go back in again. That's why a lot of people or meditator or cultivator say they cannot live in society anymore after going for a long meditation retreat. They say society and the world is crazy. Of course, they use a lot of Dhamma, many knowledge ones. They say crazy in the sense that there is so much noise and disturbances outside there in the world, in the midst of life and society. There are so many activities and problems in life. There is also too much sensuality and distraction. There is no way one can meditate, they will complain this way. Then society also has so many things that can make people miserable. So by running away, sitting in meditation and making themselves peaceful in a tranquil setting with such a condition, state of mind, is not going to free them. It's just a temporary measure or temporary solution. But the moment you go back to society, you cannot cope, you cannot live as a normal living being. And you say it's a crazy world, full of crazy things. If the Buddha is not that, he cannot be a Buddha. He is the Buddha, but he is at peace everywhere in the midst of life and society. All this need understanding. That's why Huining can understand. Now let us look at Master Shen Hua's commentary and we see what he has to say. The deluded people do not understand the principle, means the true cultivation. They think, I will just sit here and not get up. This is the way to attain skill in Zen meditation. They get attached to what they are doing, meaning the sitting, and they go insane. For example, many people have come here saying that they are enlightened. That is insanity. There are many such people. Teachers from their numbers say, if you certify my enlightenment, I will certify yours. Like an exchange, I honor you, Datukship and Tan Sri, you honor me back. That is a big mistake. In China, in the Tang Dynasty, there were false Buddhist patriots who practice intellectual Zen. They know, sorry, I asked a question. You know, what is intellectual Zen? Intellect means knowledge based on knowledge and the intellect. They have clever answer, but no foundation in actual cultivation. They can answer you in debate because they quote the book. They repeat the answer that Master Huining and the other Zen master give. But they don't have the understanding. They will quote to you like the mind must have no dwelling. Sing Wu So Zu or Sing Wu Guai and all those things. But they don't have the true understanding. They only have the words, the knowledge. They have not realized them. Then they will argue with you on what that means according to their interpretation. They have clever answer but no foundation in actual cultivation. It is not surprising that we find such people even in America today. But this imposter, who falsely claimed to be enlightened, paved the way for those of true enlightenment. No one knew about enlightenment, so the imposter said, we are enlightened. Everyone can say, so this is enlightenment. And they examine themselves closely to see what enlightenment is. Suddenly a true enlightened being come along. And no one believed him. They think that the truly enlightened one is the same as the imposter. You will now cultivate to become enlightened. Sorry, I read again. You who now cultivate to become enlightened will be forced to deal with the widespread influence of such pretender or imposter. That leads Master Shenhua to advise you as follows. When you become enlightened, you should not say you are. That is the best method according to him. This is the way of the world. True, true, false, 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 true, true. I think it's a direct translation of the Mandarin word. 真真假假假假真真 If you are true, they say you are false. If you are false, they say you are true. Therefore, you should not speak of true and false. Tell people to go and see for themselves, meaning you don't attach or cling on to duality. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. True and false is relative perception. One should inquire. True according to whom? False according to whom? But the reality is just the way it is. So the reality is the reality. Thing is just the way they are. That's why that is the reality. So reality is just the way it is. That's why there is no right and no wrong. An enlightened being will say that they are enlightened. If you have already become enlightened and claim to be enlightened, then you are just like those who are not. Why? People who are actually enlightened do not introduce themselves, say, don't you know? I'm enlightened. I'm the same as so-and-so, who is also enlightened. Enlightenment and non-enlightenment are the same, no different. Do not hang out a false name, enlightened. You are a human being, unenlightened. You are still a human being, even when enlightened. So this meaning is very deep. I think I explained first. You see, when Shenhua say you are still a human being, even when enlightened, then you are a human being when you are unenlightened. So what he is trying to share with you is the same as what I used to explain to you all. You see, as a cultivator, we know that there is a human being that cultivates. So the Buddha called this the form and mind. But the cultivation is to realize this form and mind as dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not real, not you. This is karmically conditioned. So when you understand this, then you become different. This, when you cultivate, you use this form and mind to cultivate. But the realization comes from your true mind, the awakening. So when the true mind awakens and realizes the truth, what happens is, that is the wisdom that is connected form and mind. So when the wisdom is connected to the form and mind, that form and mind from that moment onward is not deluded anymore. That's why it does not suffer anymore. Then you can say that form and mind has become enlightened. But that one is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. The Diamond Sutta say it very clearly. The enlightened one will know. That's why they will never say they are enlightened. But you can say the form and mind is enlightened, yes. But they know the form and mind is a condition arising entity, karmically conditional. It is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why they will have that understanding. So that is the reason why Master Shenhua I have to go back to that page. Use the word. You are a human being. before you become enlightened, means when you use the form and mind to cultivate. But when the form and mind become awakened to the true mind that has the understanding connected, then that form and mind, you can say, is enlightened. But you are still a human being, even when the form and mind is enlightened. So the human being is not a permanent, unchanging entity. How can it be you? So the understanding is very important. The enlightened and the unenlightened both can realize Buddhahood. It's just a question of time. So do not advertise yourself. If no one knows you, that is the best. Then your straightforward mind is the Bohemian door. That's why the ego will not be there. You will not be tempted to tell people. But for those who understand, they will tell you very clearly that this one is not them. You can say that this form and mind, when it has developed the wisdom, the insight, and the direct seeing, is enlightened. But this one is just a form and mind, not a permanent unchanging entity. How can it be you? That's why, how can you claim that you are enlightened? It has got no meaning. So this is what I explained earlier on. That's the reason why, for those who don't understand, they will go around and deludedly claim that they are enlightened. They will use the word to impress you because they want respect from you and they want followers. When they have followers and people who respect them, then they will get a lot of monetary support from you or from them. But for those who are truly enlightened, they will naturally understand that their virtue, wisdom, and understanding will shine forth on its own. And there is no greed in them. There is no delusion in them. And they cannot take advantage of you or ask you to believe them or join them. They will allow you the freedom to decide, to investigate for yourself, to find out for yourself that it is your life. Nothing to do with us. Their duty or nature is to share and what they to share what they understand when there is condition to share. These are what cultivation is all about. You have to have the understanding not to be deluded, not to be gullible. Not to just easily believe people and allow people to condition you. If without proper investigation and understanding, you just simply go and quote, then follow the crowd to promote all this, that can be very dangerous. But if you yourself have cultivated and developed the understanding, then you don't have to worry. Just like during the early days after I met my teacher, Prachayantra, I learned so much from him. I could feel him. Then many years later, he got into some issue in Thailand. And there were many Thai or negative stories about him. Then they forced him to this road. Despite what happened, I never wavered because my nature knew. I could feel his nature and I learned a lot from him. I received the Dhamma from him and I have continued even up to today there to say that he was my teacher. And he taught me very well, despite what the world say about him. Can you understand? Most people would have run away, trying not to have anything to do with him, because they may think if he goes down, their image or reputation will also be affected. If you have anything to do with him, others may perceive you the same. It's like what the Buddha has said, it's not like that. There are causes and conditions behind. If you cannot see those causes and conditions, you will not understand. Even the Buddha during his time, he was also affected by the Chincha incident. Can you remember? For many months, he has to endure all those abuses and accusations, whatever people say about him. Chincha had accused the Buddha of making her pregnant for many months, until Ananda also came. Also could not take it anymore. He told the Buddha, we have to leave this place. Nobody trusts us anymore. You don't even have proper support anymore. The Buddha said, no. 3 months from now, it will come to pass. If you try to walk away, wherever you go, the same news will travel. He said, this was due to his past coming action. The Buddha knew, and he told Ananda, I had to endure all these abuses and accusations, and it will come to pass in 3 months' time. That's why after that, everything cleared up, because the Chincha pregnancy was a fake used to plot against the Buddha. He was not even pregnant, but ill intended people wanted to bring him down. It happened because in one of the past lives, when he, Sakyamuni Buddha, was a bodhisattva, he scolded and abused a Pacheka Buddha without knowing that he was a Pacheka Buddha. He said a lot of bad things to that person. That's why when he became the Sabhasambuddha Buddha, when there is condition, he got it back. The Chincha incident. Even my teacher Ajayantra also had a similar coming condition of the past affecting him this life. I met one of his disciples who visited me at my house after somebody told me about him. Then we decided to invite him over to share with us what he knew. There were conditions then. After that, we came to know a lot of things. According to him, Ajayantra told him that all those happenings are related to his past, his coming past. He had to pay back all these past wrong actions. Hence the reason why he can accept what happened. Then he was very happy, very peaceful, where he just allowed the thing to settle. It seems many lay people and monks helped him to find the case and finally got him an amnesty to stay in the United States. He won the cases. He cleared them all. It seems they tried to extradite him from the United States via diplomatic channel because it was politically motivated. But finally, everything was cleared. But that news was no longer important by then. What you need to understand is don't become gullible by the big names you hear or be affected by the bad news you hear. You should investigate them yourself, cultivate and realize the true Dhamma. When you have realized the true Dhamma, you will understand. Then you will have no more worry about what the world say, what people say. Just like the famous quote of the Buddha, the incense is fragrant, will shine forth and spread far and wide. The incense really has its fragrance. Hence, similarly, for those who have the parami, the wisdom and the virtue, the understanding, when they share the Dhamma, their nature will shine forth, just like the fragrance of the incense. All this, if you have the understanding and the wisdom and the meditative training, then you can sense them, you can feel them, and you can recognize them, just like my cultivation in the early days. I didn't chase after famous teacher. I didn't chase after big name and all those popular monk and teacher. I will investigate and I will find out for myself via listening attentively and observing them first. When there were conditions, I will go and listen. But because my nature understands, the moment I listen, I will know which one has the Dhamma and which one don't have the Dhamma. That's why I have a lot of affinity with a lot of good teachers, good masters, and I learn a lot from them. But for those that my nature didn't have affinity with, somehow it didn't click, and I couldn't develop much understanding from what they share. Some were very famous and popular, but no point, because this nature understands very clearly the way and the cultivation. That's why it's very different. Hence, cleaning sharing on this path is very important, very beautiful. So that you may understand. Okay, we stop here. This is page 37. Then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. I will mark this page. Okay, you're off the light, yeah? Then you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Yeah? So as usual, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Yeah? Then just let things be, meditate. And for those who already develop the ability to be aware, you can use the fourth support, trust. Trust your nature to be at the heart area, to develop the movement, silent everything. Don't try to know. Just let the nature move. Then away until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then see what happens. Okay, so for those who still need to stabilize their awareness nature, we'll continue with the training. And be patient. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just aware. Aware is before the knowing. But initially, maybe you're not skillful, so aware, perceive, then finish. It's okay. But when you are aware, then you become conscious. After you perceive, then you create thought, loss in thought. At that one, you need to be aware. Aware and let it be. Just let it be. It's whatever that need to arise, let it arise. Then let it cease. Do not follow. Do not create further thinking. Do not try to know. Try to reason, try to even analyze. Then use that silent mind to watch how the mundane mind move and create all this reality, create all this activity and movement and condition the mundane mind into such state. And most of these are habitual tendency, views, opinion and conditioning from memory. For what you have done in the past, and a lot of this has to do with your coming past, your habitual behaviors. So you learn to see all this, observe all this, and understand who you are, what you are clearly. Then from the understanding, come out of it through wisdom, then transform and become a cultivator, a true cultivator. When your awareness stabilizes, you can see all this, you can understand all this. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to make yourself to stay heedful in the midst of life, to live life, to cultivate. Okay, now we will go for our second session sharing, which is reporting of meditation.
I didn't listen to today's
sharing. Now you can listen tomorrow.
Yeah. Because I took a friend around to look at used cars.
Oh.
So maybe I will use that experience to share.
Okay.
Really can see the mind state, Sagrat. Okay, yesterday I went for treatment for my back at all. I think a lot of our Dharma friends are familiar with this lady, recommended by Brother Song. The treatment comes with having to take the wine. Okay. So I started to take the wine this morning, and within 60 seconds, brother, it hit me. Okay. It was that fast. It hit me, and I was like struggling to. Because I was prepared already. I got all my breakfast ready, everything. Yeah. And I know that immediately after I drink that, I have to quickly take my breakfast.
Yeah.
So as I was eating my breakfast, I can feel myself already floating elsewhere, but my consciousness is already...
You cannot maintain the awareness anymore.
Yeah, we can see very clearly.
Yeah,
even when we are holding something, it's like through sheer willpower.
It's not steady already because your consciousness is affected already. That's why the fifth precept is about abstaining from all this strong intoxicant or drug or whatever that can cause our consciousness to be affected, that can lead to heedless movement. But if it's taken as a medicine or for health purpose, then provided not too strong and you are sober, it's okay. But you have to like try to rest. If you know it's affecting you, try to rest. Rest or meditate, just silent and let it blank off now.
Actually that was precisely that crossed my mind, is the fifth precept. When we take this sort of thing. But the alcohol level was very high. It was about 50%, and actually I was already prepared for that. So subsequently after the breakfast, I just couldn't move already. I know that I have to lie down and
let the effect
wear off. So the thing is, I was supposed to meet up with a friend at 10 o'clock. I texted him. I said, give me another half hour. Otherwise, because I need this thing to wear off. Otherwise,
yeah,
I'm
not enough time.
I can't drive. I said,
drive. Yeah.
So by the time it was 10 o'clock, I was about prepared to leave. Instead of the earlier time. So when I was leaving, I texted, I said, are you coming to my house or at that meeting place? Because earlier I suggested that he can come to my house, Then he doesn't reply my message, so I called him. Where are we supposed to meet now? He says, I'm still at home. Immediately, Beratio, I can hear, I can feel the anger coming up, you know. Here I am, being a friend, I try to help you out, you know. I get up so early in the morning despite everything. Then you tell me you're still at home. Your home is like 40 minutes away from where we are supposed to be. And you don't even reply my text, nothing. So I say, never mind lah, today is Sunday. People also sometimes want to rest, you know. I just take it as it is. I say never mind. What time can you leave? Then he said, let me check Waze. Then he says, 30 minutes time. I said, 30 minutes, so I was telling myself, I lie down for another 15 minutes before I leave. After 15 minutes I went down to the car park. So as I was in the car, I said, you better call him again. I called him. Where are you now? Are you on the way? I'm still at home.
Oh my God.
I'm still at home. I have to check the list and I print out the list. I tell you, all the XYZ come out in my mind.
Okay.
I know it's very heedless of me, you know.
This is being aware. You are aware that this thing can trigger off. That's why in cultivation, we understand all this happening in the individual form and mind. Yeah, what can still trigger off is very important. There are stages of what they call grasping or clinging. Some due to habitual tendency. Some due to views, opinion, and conditioning. So these are the things that can stir you and disturb you. But being aware is very important. Like you mentioned, you are able to be aware. Then from there, how do you deal with it is more important. That is another stage of cultivation. Because when you start to develop the understanding of the Dhamma, the understanding part should prompt you, Sankhara Anicca, Sankhara Dukkha. Then from there, that thing will subside. Then you will have to reflect, or it still happened, about to come out like you, what you mentioned just now. So how is it you are going to deal with this so that in future you will have the understanding until it stabilizes, then this thing cannot arise anymore, cannot even like want to arise. Yeah. So all this understanding will surface when you have the stability of wisdom. Mm. Then what did you do after you came to realize what happened?
Rachel, this is from what I see, is my expectation of what I think people should be, Rachel.
Correct. This is your earlier conditioning. That's why I say it's in a way a conditioning that leads to that habitual reaction that you tend to do, where you expect people not to be like that. Then the thought, like you will try to understand through the reasoning, I'm trying to help you. On the other hand, I spend all the time, take the trouble to wake up early and do all this in preparation to help you. But you, Fong Fei Ke, they call it. They didn't keep to the words and the appointment or something. But human beings are the way they are. Different people behave differently. There are some people, they don't have the Dhamma, they will do that. So it is how we actually experience them. And when you experience them with understanding, sometimes you laugh at it, because finally when you come to really understand, you should thank all these people for creating conditions for you to learn, to actually be aware that these are the habitual things, like you mentioned, your conditioning, that you cannot like take this because you expect people to have certain decency, understand, or certain type of responsibility towards what they have committed. But not everybody takes things that way. That to them is not important to them. You want to help, so you help. Then they have this tendency. Some, they actually always late one. Like most of our Kayamita, we know Jayanta's time, you have to discount. He tell you come at 3, you can end up 7 o'clock only arrive. Sometimes 1 hour late or 1 hour. If it's within an hour, you are considered lucky. But sometimes he hold on to his appointment when it's important. But people can change. But in the early days, he's so committed, he is like needed everywhere, and he has not really settled down and able to sort all these things out. So because of that, he has his condition. So we have to develop such sensitivity and understanding in cultivation. Then only we can move to have the understanding to be at peace with all situations. Or condition. Sometimes we use the word, like you use the word, you are helping him. That is what we will always say. Then after that, your expectation of his decency or behavior, that is the red line that you cannot allow it to cross. That's why it will stir you. So this is how you see your defilement, your conditioning, your mundane mind's threshold that will stir and make you become what you are. So all this need awareness, need sensitivity. Then for your case, it's good because that lady that helped you all to recover your backache or whatever, their treatment required you to drink that wine that has the alcohol content that can actually cause your consciousness to be affected. So that's why you need to rest. You rest, but even after you rest, sometimes you come out with, when you are under the influence of alcohol, it can actually make your consciousness weaker, less stable. Then you realize you lapse into unconscious moment more and more. Then you are not steady. Then you will feel it very differently. Like, this is dangerous. It can lead to hitless. That's why you dare not drive. You know it will affect your driving. That's why you text him and ask for more time and all those things. So this is the process for you to witness, to experience. Then you understand. That's the reason why I say when we cultivate the Dhamma with understanding, it's like keeping the precept with understanding. We have to find out why the Buddha say we undertake the training rule to abstain from taking intoxicant or whatever that can cause our consciousness to be affected. So this one is a good condition for you to find out. Then you realize it hit your consciousness very fast, within, like you say, 30 seconds or less than a minute. Then you know your consciousness is been affected, because our brain is like that. Not everybody has good tolerance for alcohol. So most people don't have much tolerance for alcohol. That it will hit them. Even those who have, they may think that they are still sober, but they are no longer aware and conscious. They lapse into moments of unconsciousness without them knowing. In fact, when you are mindful, aware, you can understand and see that. I saw it when I was young, when I first came out to work, when my industry is, I'm in the engineering field, civil engineering. So when we come out to work, we need to have dinner, lunch, gathering, and you also know, you are also involved in the industry, where people entertain and they actually serve all this during the function or during that dinner or lunch appointment. So initially, because we knew, they say, how can an engineer don't drink? And to some, they say, they mean, you know. Then they will try to influence you and force you to drink and all things. But initially, I was subject to all this. Then I don't want to drink initially. Then I say, okay, I try. I don't find out, I try. Then I don't like the taste. But they keep on insisting, they don't care, because when you are new, it's like that. Then later on, luckily, the condition was good. Within a few months, I think, I had this problem with food one day before I went for honeymoon with a classmate. I was having this juhu in chai. So we call it one
cuttlefish with kangkong.
Cuttlefish that you use something to soak on, like it expand on. I think that one didn't wash properly. So I ate that with the veg, the in chai. Then I developed this stomach problem, I don't know what they call it. Finally, it ended up that I cannot typhoid. I didn't know. So I straight away felt it before I went to sleep that night. Then in the morning, first thing I do is I went to this medical center in Penang. I was in Penang that time. Yeah, I was supposed to take off from Penang to Lake Toba honeymoon with another classmate. The flight is in the afternoon, I think 12 something, 1 o'clock. So I thought, sure, cannot make it early. We have 9 o'clock appointment. So I was the first, and the doctor checked me up. Then I told him what happened. Then he said, oh, okay. He said, very likely food poisoning. Then I said, I had to cancel my trip. He said, no. What? He said, he gave me some medication, and he said, I can go. So since he was so confident, so I took the medication, I went, oh, meant to be. After that, when I was in Lake Toba, the thing started. I was aware. I knew what is happening, but it's very eerie, but not painful one. But you know, very eerie, associated with death and all that. So for that few days, I even finally went and tried to consult some doctor. I think I went to see two in Indonesia at that time, the 1979 to 1980, early 1980s. Wow, the condition was very bad. The doctor don't have a proper clinic. But it's like in a small classroom area with one student table. There is no dispensary, no clinic, nothing. One, it's just him and the table with a two drawer with the medication. Then after he talked to me, he didn't even check me. Then he said, I'll give you something. I saw the medicine that he took out. I also did nothing. So I endure until I came back. The first thing I decided was I drove back from Penang to Alaska. I was able to reach Alaska. Then I straight away went to GH because my classmate, three of my uni classmates who graduated, was having the houseman there. So straight away admitted, I asked my wife to contact them. I give them her the phone number. Then they came and visit me. Then they checked me out. I was in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. They said, keep me under observation. Then on the fourth day, the pain, the slight pain was still there, the eerie pain. Then they told me, Kekun, I don't know what is happening to you. They check everything negative. They say, they suspect stone in the kidney, whatever. Don't have, nothing, clear. Then he said, if by the fourth day or fifth day it doesn't clear, they also don't know what to do to me. So I said, never mind, let it be. Then after that, the fifth day, luckily, the pain gone, the eerie thing gone. Then I was discharged. Then my father, very good, he gave me the power sum, everything. Now he's scared I drive back to PJ, 8-hour journey, not easy. Then my elder brother arranged a driver to follow me just in case I cannot, he will take over. So I reached PJ, and I rested. That time I didn't know how to meditate. I only know Apanasati. I know how to rest and recover. And during that time, I feel weak. For 3 months, I feel weak, and I know I haven't fully recovered. Then it gave me the excuse to tell them, doctor's advice, I cannot drink. Well, from then onward, they never forced me to drink anymore. That's why, in a way, I didn't plan to be a one. So my whatever alcohol or wine or liquor or what, that journey end after that. Then they all know, oh, doctor advice, okay. When you say it's doctor's advice, they will not like try to push it. So that's how I actually learn and found out that when I drink, first thing, I don't like the taste. Then it make my consciousness go haywire, I know. Then it make me feel terrible even when I want to sleep, because sometimes you want to throw, you cannot throw. Sometimes nothing come out. But I haven't reached a state where I throw until very bad. I never, but it felt very like uneasy inside. Then I don't like. Then the headache and all those things, of course, normal. And I need a whole night rest to recover. That's why I don't like to drink, even or whatever. Initially, they tried to give me alcohol. Then they say you can mix it separately. But I don't like the taste. That's why finally, that's face. The story gone, then I was not affected by it anymore. Then later on, I was told wine, the all Western dining and all say wine, the content of alcohol less. Then they say, you must pay me, like people invite you for function or what. So I also had to find out how it affected, but I realized wine is very mild, but you cannot take too much. Too much is also bad a lot. But later on, when I had this the incident where I say doctor's advice, I shouldn't drink. then after a certain age, I think nobody will force you anymore. They respect you. Then they will know what you want. Drinks, orange juice, or whatever. Then I said Chinese tea will do. So that's how it resolved. Yes. Yeah. Did you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you, because this one, the wine, I call it wine, something that has to be taken on an empty stomach.
Yeah, before your breakfast.
So I knew it's going to hit me very hard because I think the alcohol level is about 50% in Alberta.
That is very high. Wine is very high. Liquor content already. It is stronger than special brew.
Liquor, actually, I can quite tolerate the liquor.
Oh, yes, you have tolerance for liquor.
But because I have to take on empty stomach.
Empty stomach, that's why not
easy. I know that it will affect me very badly. But it shows me, Bertil, so clearly that apart from the alcohol, of course, being asked to get up so early in the morning, which is not my favorite time of the day.
Especially on a Sunday.
Then the tolerant level is not so good.
Understandable.
But of course, I don't mind doing it for a friend. We of course ask for some understanding that certain things have to be done in certain ways so that so that at least we can keep the type of good level of friendship.
Good level of relationship and friendship.
Brother, from here I go to the next one. You see, with such a simple thing as just accept people's faults. I should use people's conditionings. As a cultivator, I cannot accept people's conditioning. After so many years of cultivation, I think I seriously need to have
reflect on it and contemplate into the thing deeply so that you understand how this defilement is not easy. It's, they say like there are layers. There are different people got their own behavior, their conditioning, their uniqueness of thinking. There are certain things that can trigger off emotion and unhappiness. Like I used to share with you, or certain people, you talk on a certain topic that they don't like you step on their tail, they immediately spring forward and they attack you or get angry. But these are the things that make them really unhappy, sensitive, and you cannot like go ahead to say all those things because they are such. So you have to find out your own. I use the word conditioning because these are what we are conditioned into behaving, reacting. Then like I say, your expectation which you mentioned is what is causing you to be what you are, how it causes all those things to be triggered off, because you have certain expectation of how this friend should behave. So reflect on that. How can I, in the next instant or in future, not react in such a way? How can I overcome the expectation? Means you haven't had the ability to apply the full range of acceptance of the way people are. So that category that the mind gives to different people with different relationships created the expectation and the tolerance. But if it's your own family member, normally you can. But if it's somebody you trust or you want to help and that person break on the promise, or the basic decency of having that relationship was broken, the trust, that it can spring off and trigger off. So Dhamma is to create that contemplation, that reflection, so that we understand, then we can apply to a full range of conditions. So in the future, not only to say we must not have expectation, no. The understanding is, people are just the way they are, reflective into it. Condition like that, things are like that, the world is the world. And people are just the way they are. I mean, whatever that type of behavior or character or belief system, they are just the way they are. Means it applies to the full range. Then we can accept. Then we have to see how we attach to certain type of views, opinion, and conditioning that our own thought process has set up in the early days before we have the Dhamma. Yeah. Then that is the one that continue to come back to habitual tendency, to conditioning, to actually promise to behave that way, that line of reaction to sense experience when you encounter situation or people or whatever that you come across in life. So this is how my nature will reflect and contemplate. And I was lucky that in the past, I had the cultivation. That's why I straight away have that understanding and I can apply. Then I share with you all. Learn to see things as they are, like the Buddha always say. Recognition like that, things are like that. And people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Easier said than done. That's why for you, it's very good now. Because you see it, although you already know the Dhamma for so long, but to apply it, to allow it to surface in life and have the mindfulness and the sensitivity to actually feel it and watch the reaction from your mundane mind is very important, because the ego is still there, the sakyadity is still there, the I, the sankhara, the egoic mind, is still there. And that movement is very strong. And that one can come through the back door, like I always say. So you need to contemplate, reflect until very, very clear, until the acceptance. The word acceptance is a very loose one. But acceptance with understanding or wisdom is not easy. You have to understand the truth, the Dhamma behind. Then the acceptance born of wisdom is not suppression anymore. Then it becomes an understanding that you can allow things to be. That's how you can just smile instead of getting angry. Because the world is the world. People are just the way they are. The reality is suchness. Ta-ta-ta. So this aspect is very important, very beautiful, and you bring up a very important cultivation point or aspect. So hopefully this one can give you further understanding and help you develop more stable yoniso manasikara to overcome all the future response to sense experience when you encounter me. Okay, do you?
Yeah, very true. What you say earlier, acceptance with understanding and wisdom.
Very important.
It is one of the key points that as a cultivator, we have to learn.
Yeah.
And be with that type of mind state that, you know, as things comes to us, we are able to deal with this with understanding, not like you say, just suppression itself.
Yeah. No point. Or blaming yourself, no point.
Or reasoning, or...
Correct. Analysis and reasoning, no point.
Even like what happened, I tell myself, yeah, he's just like that. But I can see from my reply to myself...
Right. Yeah, that is what the thought says.
Yeah, it's just...
Wisdom. It's not wisdom, it's the knowledge.
It's not wisdom.
It's what the thought says. That's why a lot of Buddhists, so-called Buddhists, they use this word, Aiya, let things be lah. Aiya, Sheila, that one lah. That one they won't learn. They won't learn.
Yeah.
Because that is what they have been taught. Let go lah. Why attach? Why cling? No use, because at the understanding level, you cannot lie. When you get angry or emotional, or when you react and stir, if you are a cultivator, at that moment, your awareness is there, you know. Or you have fear, you have worry, anxiety. You sense it straight away. That is how a cultivator differs from a non-cultivator. And when you sense it, it actually is the beginning of cultivation. And how you develop the understanding to be free of it, and that one takes stability or wisdom. Then you see very clearly, without the Dhamma, Yoniso Manasikara, it will continue to haunt that person. Then, of course, non-cultivator is worse. They don't even have the awareness to be aware. Their thought process churned inside their proliferate further, and they get more angry. They are conditioned by karmic friction and other things. So you can see the various type of human being or sentient being behaving in the way they are, because they are in that stage of delusion. Then for those who have less delusion, they have developed more cultivation, they are more sensitive, they are aware. But most people who have some form of awareness, they get trapped at that stage because they blame themselves. Like just now you mentioned something, your relative, you say, after so many years in the Dhamma, I still react. That one initially will come out, but don't be deceived by it. Because this type of remorse, no use. It's not a question about how many years we in the Dhamma, we still behave like that. But that one is what the thought will tell you. But basically, to most people, this is the truth. But what I mean is, the answer to that is more important than that remorse. Understand now? That remorse is not the way forward. It will not give you the answer. You have to accept you are still not having the ability to liberate and free. Means this thing still has that power to stir your mind. But at least you know you have developed improvement. That the awareness of it is very important. When you are aware, that is the beginning of cultivation. Like I said, aware means what? That these are defilements. These are habitual tendency, expectation. First, number two, reality. It will condition wrong thought. It will condition your negativity of emotion. Then apply the five ways to overcome this unwholesome thought. The first way and second way is still thought based. That one, leave it, because we have gone through. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Think of the consequence. You want to do it again, you can. But no point. More important, go to the third way. Third way is the best. They stay with that feeling, that emotion. Let's see what happens. But of course, when you are talking to him or her, then it is not easy. But if you want to try it when you are not with anybody, stay with that. Let's see how it dissipates. When it dissipates, you come out of it, then you reflect. What happened? This emotion is not me. Anger is not me. You have to go through it a few times. When this thing is being stirred, when you are affected, silent, especially in the office or in public area, or there's a misunderstanding or what, then straight away do whatever you can to just end it. Then silence yourself and just stay silent. Find out, let it dissipate. Then when this thing happens over a few times, you will develop wisdom, and that wisdom which arises is more stable. Because that one is born of Dhamma. Then the Dhamma that is connected to all this understanding will actually trigger off the awakening and the understanding to make you very stable. Then like you say, no wonder the Buddha said, Anger was not me. Feeling was not me. Emotion was not me. They come and they go. I didn't die. Then when it arises, if I don't do anything, it ceases to be. That's why they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Hence, anicchang, impermanent. If I don't hold, if I don't grasp, I don't give meaning, I don't attach, everything is just the way it is. And then I start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. They are just the way they are. Condition like that, things will be like that. Whatever things that happen in life, also the same. Whether it's encountering a situation, a person, or the environment, or nature's condition. Every of this situation has its own causes and condition behind. That's why that is the reality. So the Buddha saying, whatever happened is the reality. We need to accept. After we accept, we move. We act. Act with what? Noble Eightfold Path. That's why right view will condition right action, right speech, and right thought. So no matter how, we will need to actually develop skillfulness in Noble Eightfold Path to allow all these things to resolve amicably. So this training needs some form of stability. Then after a while, you realize you become different. What happened in the past no longer happen anymore. Then you feel such relief and joy when you start to see, hey, how come now different already? Last time, I still had this movement and all that. Now cannot already. Now instead you laugh at it. So this is how the process can actually come about. Did you?
Yeah, Virtual. You see, after we set the timer, the second time, is it half an hour?
Yeah.
So after
again,
that,
I
Virtual. Another half hour. I sat there and wait for another half hour. By then, like you say, lah, I've already accepted as he is. By the time we left, it's like 12 o'clock.
Oh, no wonder.
Then my mind said, how nice if I could have slept at home.
That is no more a reality, but the mind will do that. Yeah, this is our habitual thinking. Then you are not careful.
The sankhara itself, I can see how much of the sankhara.
Yeah, it will tell you a story.
It will keep telling story, and then I will just look at it and say,
these are not the reality anymore.
Say some, yes, Virtue. That much I can see actually very clearly the sankhara making stories.
That one will help you to reduce the sankhara. Yes? After you've seen it already, then you tell yourself, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then the sankhara loses its power. I realize that type of thinking, reasoning, analysis all stop immediately after I realize that. That's why it cannot continue. That's why after that, my mind become very quiet. My mind become very quiet. It doesn't have that type of movement anymore. Otherwise, small thing also, you will go and think, tell story and create all this sankhara activity.
Yes, Rachel, very correct.
So this is a very important.
I'm able to see that, you say, once I become aware, the sankhara stop almost immediately.
Immediately stop. Well, no meaning.
It's
no more a reality. It's no more a reality.
So I think it's a matter of having to stabilize myself.
Yeah, the understanding.
Not let the sankhara take over, especially at certain times when things trigger it.
Yeah. In fact, what I've been sharing with you all in the past about the three period of time, the past, present, and future, Although I share it in such a way, but the real application of it is not easy. Because like we said, knowledge is easy. Yeah? Past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. Only the present moment is the only reality. But when you are creating Sankara, when the Sankara is telling you a story, how many of you are aware that it's the past and the future, no more a reality, like just now you share. How nice if I have known that I would have slept more, you know? But no more a reality. So this is memory, recalling the past. The past is already gone. The future yet to come. Eh? You project into the future and say, oh, yeah, how nice it will be if I have known that. But no more reality. That's why that understanding need to be a part of you through contemplation, through sensitivity of mindfulness and awareness to see this. Then you will have the understanding, Sankara Anicam, Sankara Dukkam, very clear, very powerful. And this one becomes Unisuk Manasikara, it will straight away come out. Then you will know, think also like that, don't think also like that. Because thinking is what? Sankara. Mental activity is no longer a reality. And thinking ends up with analysis, reasoning, right and wrong, duality. That's how I penetrated it and become very clear about all this. Then when I share, it's with this understanding behind. But for most people, cultivator, you have to approach it from that understanding backward to see all this. Because I went through the whole training, then I saw it, then I used that understanding to share. That's why when you listen to what I share, you may think it's easy. Yeah? Knowledge. But to really put it into practice and make it a part of you is not easy, not what people think. So your this today's condition is really good, is it? It allows us to bring out a lot of this cultivation understanding, which is the deeper aspect of cultivation that normal people don't know what to expect or don't go through. Yeah. So now your today's sharing can help many people. Yeah. These are the stages of cultivation, progress, and transformation that cultivators need to go through. And these are not in the book, not written anywhere, not taught by anybody. So you start to understand the Dhamma is life itself. That's why noble evil power is life itself, like just now what I shared. Under today's sharing. So if you don't have the mindfulness, the heedfulness, and the sensitivity to see all this and understand all this and develop the stability or wisdom to awaken and straighten your view, you cannot deal with life. So this is beautiful, subtle, eh? Busy. Very good.
Yeah, Bratio, it's only when we, whatever we'll learn and put the cultivation into practice.
Correct. Then only it becomes useful.
That is the most important part of the
useful part, yes. And not easy.
It becomes useful. Otherwise, yes. It's just
knowledge.
Yeah, it will just become knowledge. So with it, from what I understand, is that's when the initial wisdom will stabilize.
Correct. Yonisok Manasikara, the initial wisdom. Then later on, the direct seeing, the penetrative one come, you awaken very fast. Then after that, no more issue already. The Sankara sits straight away. Like you check with some of the cultivators, okay, especially this one, Alicia. You can see it. Straight away, that thing subsides. Enough, is it? You have torment me now.
Obviously, I need some more torment.
yeah. Because she went through that depression and saw how all these wrong thoughts make her miserable. Then whenever the sakayadity, the cunningness, the selfishness, it tried to come out, to develop the envy, the jealousy, he said, enough, I had enough from you for the past so many years. You have tormented me long enough. Finish. That's why he has good thought, right thought, virtuous thought, keep on coming out. Like today, my sharing. Cultivator should check, how often do you arise virtuous thought, wholesome thought? Thought of non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion, very seldom. People who can arise those type of thought are real cultivator that has the Dhamma. So it's very easy to check, how much Sankara movement do you still have? Do you still have a lot of this argument, reasoning, analysis, means your Sankara is very active, means you hardly progress. But if most of the time you are aware and not much thinking, more and more space within thought, it's a sign of good progress. Means understanding is there, otherwise Sankara will keep on arising. That's why Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. These are very beautiful Dhamma. To see this, to penetrate this, to understand all this is not easy. It's easier said than done. There are most of these people who recite them, they are developing the knowledge at the theoretical knowledge level. They don't have the penetrative understanding. So today's sharing is very good. Sadhu,
as the Sankara arise, I can see very clearly the intention of the thoughts itself.
Yes.
Like you say, a lot of times we do not have the correct thoughts.
Yes.
You can see apart from the anger, which is very normal, we can see the greed itself. Yeah. No doubt it is subtle.
Yeah.
We can see the greed itself is like for what you say, for me.
Not for me. Yeah. The motive. There is a motive behind every action you do. It's all based on selfish intent. So all this you can see, looking for benefit, advantages, and all those things. That's why Shenhua used the word 不自私,不自利. 自私 is selfish, self-benefiting. 自利.
Yes. When I heard last week, was it last week?
Yeah, last week.
No. Was it Thursday or Tuesday when you talk about the Master Shenhua's?
Sunday class. The other one also, Tuesday and Thursday also.
About his vows and his...
His vow, that one is Tuesday and Thursday.
That one, and about his biography. Vows, and I was thinking to myself, wow, such great beings, you know.
Yeah.
So selfless and so compassionate for living beings.
Yeah.
And they are more or less very self-motivated to cultivate and arise wisdom.
Yes.
For us, even a simple thing like even our Sankara, we still having so much problem with
it. To manage it. That's why it will take time. As you move along the cultivation, all this understanding will be there. Then you will move on different stage. You will develop new type of aspiration, vows, and all those what we call affirmation for you to actually progress. So all this depend on the stages of cultivation.
Okay, brother, I tell you one more experience. On Friday itself, I went to Kiara Park to walk. Just as I get out of my car, I walk in towards the park. I heard a dog howling. Then I tell myself, just normal lah. I think maybe the dog not happy with something.
Yeah.
I walk further in. As I walk further in, It becomes so clear, the howling. I tell myself, I have come to Kara Park so many years.
Yeah.
This is the first time I hear a dog howling.
Yeah.
And of course, the sankara arises. The fear arises, Brother Teo. You know that the conditioning is such, huh?
Your project, your thought will project.
And automatically, I can see that I walk the other direction.
Yeah, you try to avoid that area.
Yeah. Then I ask myself, you silly goose.
Yeah.
There's really ghost there. You walk which part of the park?
Also, you will be confronted.
The ghost can be still with you.
Yeah,
if you
it's
ghost. Then I laugh to myself.
Yeah.
Still so silly, I tell myself.
Yeah.
Then after that, I tell myself, leave things be, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to howl, just let them howl.
Yeah. You need to read it, Meta. You read it.
Yes. All beings, they have a right
to be well and happy.
So, with that, after that, I continue my walk and all that. And then after that, when it's time, then I go off. So, from that incident itself, I can see how fast the fear arises.
It will trigger off, yes.
Yeah, and
but
if
our belief system, our conditioning from the early days, where we are Chinese, the Chinese got a few of this pantang or what they call traditional belief. Like in dark places, there is ghosts. When dog howling means got non-human or ghosts or whatever. So all these are the conditioning. So straight away, the mind will develop that fear, the projection of the fear. Then you see how through the Dhamma understanding, we penetrate all this, understand all this, then no more movement. Then whatever you hear is that awareness at the heart area. Finish. After that, whatever sankhara, like the early day, cannot arise on. You just understand. Condition like that, things will be like that. The dog is an animal who has this capability to sense. That's why they are howling, reacting. They must have seen something. It's okay. The other world is a world. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then if you can play your role, your part, you want to radiate love and metta and wish them all well-being and happiness, you radiate. Then sometimes they want marriage, you transfer marriage, you share marriage. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. All this may help when you radiate love and metta. May all beings be well and happy. But sometimes they know cultivator around, they want marriage. That's why they come near the human realm. So sometimes you travel to a certain spiritual place, you can sense them. And sometimes they are even in the hotel. And they don't know what is going on. They try to disturb the tenant who doesn't behave the way they see it. Just like the way you see your friend. The non-human also, they see you, your behavior. If they don't like, they come and disturb you, haunt you. That's why you need to be sensitive and feel them, then talk to them. They can understand whatever language, no problem, they can. But in that consciousness state, they don't need words, they don't need language. They can understand your consciousness. So all this is very, very beautiful. That's how you experience in real life. Like you say, going for a morning walk. You also come to understand all day. Then when you come back, you reflect, you contemplate. This is Dhamma. That's why cultivation is about life itself. Life itself is the Bodhi Mandala, the training ground for us to develop the Noble Eightfold Path understanding and the wisdom leading to the understanding to liberate our mind, to straighten our view, to transform ourselves personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise. Then we become different. The form and mind that has this understanding connected become different. That is what Dhamma is, the cultivation is. So this is beautiful. Fiji, start it again.
Rachel, when we see our life as, how to say, it's for us to come here to learn,
Yeah. So cultivate, to learn, to experience means to go to karma.
So if we don't feel so much of like life is a burden, life is
no more. Like I said,
yes,
this is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come. So make use of it. To have this understanding is not easy. That the egoic mind is so strong inside with the sankhara, with the mundane mind. That's why you must develop the wisdom to see this clearly. Then no need to use the word detach, because the moment you understand, you know that mundane mind is dependent originating, condition arising, not real. But it's a vehicle and a tool that is subject to the condition world's law, especially the law of karma. That's why it's subject to karma. This one has to take care of itself. There is a duty. That's why of right duty. It performs its duty, then it is safe. It will behave in accordance with the law of karma. Then from there, his life will be taken care of. So all this understanding will evolve. Then like exactly you say, once you understand this, life become easy. No more suffering. No more like a burden. No more like, ayo, why life is so tough, so difficult. No more. We are there from a mind, it's not you, but part of you. We are karmically conditional from our karmic nature for us to come. Come to this world to do what? To live life, like you came to understand.
To learn, definitely.
To cultivate, to go through life, to experience karma, to develop wisdom, the cultivation, the perfection. And all these are so beautiful. But not to suffer, understand? Not to become deluded, not to entangle ourselves through ignorance. That is very important. See it clearly. The form and mind, see it clearly. It's not real. It's just a vehicle and tool. So make use of it. And do not be deluded by it. Like the fifth day of the awakening, straight away he came to great awakening. He said, this mind, you must learn how to use it, but at the same time, not to be deluded by it or deceived by it. That's why we have to use this mundane mind. Through what? Through noble eightfold understanding. With right view, we have a condition, right thought, right spirit. That's why these phases of right over a four path cultivation is a very, very beautiful phase. And this is how you transform. Without this noble a four path understanding and cultivation, the cultivator will never transform. It's not just sitting, like what Sun Hua mentioned just now. Sitting, experiencing all the fantastic meditative mind state, then you think you are enlightened. No. The real Buddhist cultivation is noble eightfold path. Sitting is just the training of the mind to be aware, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then from ever mindful, you develop the cultivation to be heedful. That's what the meditative training is all about. So it's just an initial training process to develop mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, and use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. And that is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. So today, very beautiful, PG, you brought up a lot of very useful sharing. Understanding the form of mind, that part is very beautiful. Yeah,
Brother, with right views, with right view, I think it's one of the most important
understanding
of true cultivation. With right view itself, we see life very different now.
Yeah, completely different. The form and mind become very clear to you. Then there is no more delusion or emotion about that form and mind. While it can serve you, let it serve you. Make full use of it. There is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. Don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp, don't be deceived by it. The phenomenal world of consciousness and form is not real. They have their universal characteristics. They belong to the conditioned world. they are not within the existential truth. Means in true emptiness, all these are not what the living being think, sentient being think. So ultimate truth, true emptiness, you use that wisdom to understand the unconditioned. Then from there, apply to the condition, then you are free. You are free because within the unconditioned, he know you, he know me. So with that understanding, you will liberate your mind. You will not cling. You will not be deceived by it. You will not grasp. So all this understanding is so beautiful. That's why when the awakening happened in 1989, my nature was full of this joy and understanding. Then I reflected back. I recall back. Then I look at life. Then I developed such joy and wisdom because everything become very clear, very clear. Then that form and mind served my nature very well. That's why I was full of joy. When I had this Dhamma understanding, my coming become different. My form and mind become different. Everything was already said with the understanding and the conditioning meant to be. So everything like fall into place. Like I used to share with you all, I like no need to do anything this life. My nature just accord and flow. And all the understanding, they will come back to my nature. Then when the condition is right, it will unfold. Then it will trigger off. Then I just accord and flow and do my duty, play my role. So all this become like very clear, very beautiful, very meaningful. Very good, Sadhu. Today one is very good sharing because it's a different aspect of the sharing. It's more towards the cultivation part and the understanding part that can actually make life very meaningful and very beautiful. Sadhu, Vijay, you continue.
Brother, last night when I was doing my religious routine, it was actually I was very tired because after the treatment, you know lah, after you've been aching with pain for like almost 2 hours, your body it becomes that very tired type of and because I was on the phone with my friend for quite a while. By the time I take my bath, I do my puja, it was like 10:30 at night. My mind was almost like shut down already.
Because of fatigue.
Why didn't you do it earlier? Then I said, oh, never mind.
The thought was spring off.
Just do it. Kneel down and do it. I did the whole thing. And I was chanting the Bodhisattva vows. Radio, as I did this, you know, the one we ask for forgiveness. So I by myself asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness to break karmic obstruction.
Yes.
Karmic negativity. This is my own words, right, Matthew? As I do the second one, we always say whomsoever from the distant. After I did this one, it came to my mind, Matthew. We always say that we ask for forgiveness from those that we have caused karmic negativity.
Yeah, whether knowingly or unknowingly.
Matthew, then another aspect of it came to me. I feel that I still harbor some resentment. People who harm me cause suffering to me, Brachio. I tell myself, I should in turn also ask for forgiveness from those who have caused me harm, suffering, and karmic negativity. So, Brachio, I think I should include that into my mouth.
That is unique to you.
Because I feel that, especially those who hold things in our heart, we may say that we forgive them.
But there is still this unhappiness, the grudges.
Which I feel that after I did it, I feel so much better, Bertio.
Yeah, and yeah.
I feel that it helps me a lot.
Yes, because it's unique to you, your case. You, when you realize that you can include it in. That's why these vows are for us to evolve and make it better and more complete. Like last time, because of sustaining, I include that part, misled. That one, seldom people put it in what they call asking for forgiveness or repentance. Misled is also coming because it has this coming obstruction. It's just wrong practice, wrong cultivation. But it's not something evil like coming negativity or harm in a sense that you break your precepts and all those things. This one is misled without knowing or understanding. That's why you will condition coming obstruction, so that when you come, you will tend towards that type of teaching. Then you want to learn the true teaching, the coming obstruction will come. Then it will make you like you don't believe that type of teaching one. Then luckily there will condition for Sister Angie to come to the understanding. Then she came and see me after, I think, the first night or second night of the retreat, I forgot already. Then I explained to her, then we include this one in. Then she continued from 9 p.m. to all midnight, I remember. Then later on, I came out to collect my water. I saw her still inside there alone, doing the repentance and other things. So it was beautiful. So repentance can be evolved, like what you do is good. There is unique to you. Whatever you find you need to include, you include it in. Where everyone is different.
Yeah, brother, I do understand that all this is coming.
Yeah.
That I have to pay back for what I have done. All the past lives.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
I have to go through what I did, but being human enough, the consciousness has still not fully evolved, and
we are in the past when we cannot have the understanding, we will make mistakes. Yeah, everybody is not the same. It's only after we have the understanding, then things become different. It's normal.
It's not that to me, it may not be so easy to let go of all the hurts and the suffering that we have gone through caused by people who do us harm,
Most of the cultivator initially, they have this problem because they came to realize through their own awareness and mindfulness that they still hold. They still hold. Then it's not easy. Like you say, you may forgive, but inside still got the irritation or the. But later on, when your cultivation stabilizes, the Dhamma become very stable. You realize all those things gone because that needs very penetrative understanding of anatta. The anatta nature, once it penetrates, he know you, he know me, then hold on to what? Like you will come to know, do also like that, don't do also like that, think also like that, don't think. Yeah, everything follow nature's law, dependent originating, no reality, no permanent unchanging entity. No mark of a cell, no mark of once this one become very stable, very clear, then all this will be rooted out. Like you say, holding on to that. Yet it stems from the mark of a cell or others. That's how it happens. Sakaya ditti, the personality, the egoic mind. That one is not easy to root out. That's why the first stage of sinhood, it's not really that easy. What people think. That the egoic mind, to be rooted out, you have to penetrate anatta, non-self.
Yeah, the anatta aspect. They also brought you after the Bodhisattva vow, I did the heart sutra, the chanting of the heart sutra.
Sadhu.
I'm so ambitious. I said, okay, never mind. Just continue with the heart sutra.
Oh, sadhu.
So when I was chanting the heart sutra, then as usual, it says, Sariputta, form is emptiness.
Yeah, that one very good.
So when I'm reading it, I the mind just go, Oh, yeah, you can say it, but when are you going to see this?
Yeah, to realize this in a penetrative way. Yeah.
Then like it says, no eyes, no ears, no nose.
Yeah.
Then I also come to understand, Brother, it's only when we are able to see through the self-delusion,
then only
we can see the anatta and all this.
Yeah.
This form and mind that we cling so tightly as what we are, you know, Brother.
Yeah.
As long as we are not, we can't see beyond this, there's no way.
You'll be caught, yes. Yeah.
Form is emptiness.
Ah, emptiness is form, yeah. The five aggregate, very important.
The five aggregate is so strong.
Yeah.
Go beyond that.
Yes. Especially the mind aggregate, the sakkayaditti. You sure believe this consciousness, the mundane mind, is definitely you. Feeling is you as real as it can. The perception that somebody inside there can think, the sankhara, is like you thinking. Then there is an I, a me. Because within the existential law, there is a law of karma. You are born of your karma area. The teaching says this. So the atta exists for the form and mind. The atta is within the form and mind. Means there is such thing as a human being. But that one is not you. But cultivator who cannot penetrate that will attach, will cling. We have to us. Definitely this is real. How can you say this is not me? Unless you have the mindfulness and the awareness to see through, like what I share with you, the analogy of the car and the driver. Against the form of mind. So all this you need contemplation, reflection, clear understanding. Then you penetrate. Then the direct see. Once the direct seeing come, you awaken. You become totally different. Your understanding of the Dhamma like completely transformed. It's like very penetrating. It shuttle all the delusion. The self delusion like gone, completely gone. Then you realize, wow, all along was like that. Now only you come to understand. That one is very difficult.
Rajil, okay. My immediate aspiration to be able to see the anatta.
Yeah, anatta nature, all phenomena, all things.
With that, Rajil, I think I will end my time.
Very good. Yeah, 6 o'clock. 6:02 early. Okay, thank you so much. Let us rejoice with a good sharing. Huh?